Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, and our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's an old story, and maybe you know it, it's one of Aesop's fables, I think, about a man who had three sons. And as he was dying on his deathbed, he called his three sons to come to him. And laying there on his deathbed, he asked each of the sons to go outside and to find a stick from a tree and bring it to him. And they did as he asked, and each son came back with a stick. And in turn, from oldest to youngest, the father asked each of his boys to break their stick in half. And each son did as the father asked, and he took the stick and easily snapped it in half. And then the father instructed his sons to go back outside, find another stick, and bring it back to him. And when they all returned, the father asked the eldest of the sons to take the three sticks and bind them together tightly with twine. The eldest son did as his father asked. And the father asked his sons, starting with the youngest and going up to the eldest, who was the strongest, to try to break the three sticks. And each tried in turn, but the bundle could not be broken. The father said to his sons, "When I'm gone, remember this bundle of sticks. Remember its strength as you build your lives and your families. When you are together, you cannot be broken. Unity is strength." The prayer we just heard in that gospel reading came from the Maundy Thursday, the night in which Jesus was betrayed, right before he's arrested and taken to the cross and killed. And on that night in which he was betrayed, Jesus prays to God the Father for his disciples, saying, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become completely one. And so today, nearly 2,000 years later, after Jesus' prayer, there are approximately 45,000 denominations of Christians in the world. Not 45,000 churches, mind you, 45,000 denominations, groups of churches, like we're part of the ELCA. And what a tragedy it is that the church that started as one body, gathered together in a room, gathered together at Pentecost, as we'll hear next week, the body of Christ has split over every issue that you can imagine and many that we can't imagine. And it's hard to read this prayer from Jesus without feeling some disappointment, I think, at how things have turned out. Unity is not what comes to mind when people look at the church today. But this morning, instead of lamenting how broken the body of Christ is, how divided we've become, I have 2 points that I want to share with you to sort of help manage our disappointment, maybe mitigate it a little. So first, we need to realize, as we look at this divided church in this divided world, we need to realize that the church has always been divided. I know some of you were there last week at Living Hope when Pastor Jerry talked with the confirmands about those familiar words that Paul, one of the early apostles, writes in 1 Corinthians. He writes, "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, love does not insist on its own way." You've heard the passage probably at a wedding, right? People like those verses at weddings. And they are a great message to hear at the beginning of a marriage, to think about what is love, what are we committing to? Last week, Pastor Jerry used those words to talk about the central importance of love in the Christian life for our confirmands and for all of us. Again, a great message. But when Paul originally wrote those words, he was sending a message, literally writing a letter, to a church that was divided by conflict, reminding them, practically begging them, to treat each other with love, reminding them of who they are. Basically, if you are going to be the church, stop being envious and boastful, Paul says. Stop rejoicing in each other's wrongdoing. Start living in love. So division in the church is not a new thing. It's right there from the start, from Bible times. Although sometimes I think that we as Lutheran Christians are particularly open to division because of our history. Somewhere deep down in our church DNA, whether you've been a Lutheran your whole life or are just here for the morning at a Lutheran church or watching, sometimes I think deep in our church DNA is this idea that when we start to disagree, we can just break off and start our own church, start a new church. And if we could call it a reformation, even better, right? And sometimes it is probably necessary. I think there's a lot of good from the Reformation. I'm just saying that we Lutherans in particular should pay attention when we jump to breaking unity as a solution to a problem. All churches are divided. It's unavoidable as a result of God choosing to work through broken, sinful people like us. It's human nature, and God chooses that. So first, as we look at the brokenness of the church today and we lament our disunity, it's important, I think, to keep perspective that division is not new today. Division starts as soon as the church is established, as soon as Jesus tells us to be his witnesses. And second, the unity that Jesus is talking about, the unity Jesus is praying for, does not mean that we need to agree on everything. The church is a gathering of unique individuals across denominations, across cultures, across nations. We have diverse experiences and perspectives. We have different gifts. That's kind of the point. God's kingdom needs all of us in our diversity and uniqueness. I don't know your political opinions or positions or who you voted for. I don't really want to. But I'm guessing that we have Republicans and Democrats in this room. Maybe we have some libertarians or socialists or Greens. That's okay. That's good, right? Think about an issue like feeding people in need. I think I heard that yesterday was World Hunger Day. And by the way, the call committee heard me say this when I interviewed. So if you get nervous when I start talking about politics, blame them. But I said to them, and I'll say to you, nobody has a perfect answer to solving hunger, right? Some people are worried about creating dependency with handouts. They want to focus on individual responsibility. Some people are worried about people falling through the cracks and not getting enough food. And so they want to prioritize equal access for everyone. And there's arguments on both sides, some of which are probably better than others. But both sides of that argument can make a legitimate case, right? Jesus simply says we ought to feed people. The unity of the church is in our mission to reflect Christ, to be Jesus' witnesses in the world, to do God's work, to feed people. We don't have to vote the same or even focus on the same problems. There's plenty of problems to go around. But our job, our calling as God's people, is to love our neighbors in Jesus' name. Listen to the first verse of the hymn that we're about to sing. It goes, "We all are one in mission. We all are one in call, our varied gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all. A single great commission compels us from above to plan and work together that all may know Christ's love." I should also say, one of the hazards of being very brand new here is that I don't know what hymns are familiar to you. And I was told this week that I get to pick the hymn of the day. So maybe you know this one, or maybe it's brand new. I have no idea. But pay attention. Either way, pay attention to the words as we sing. And maybe hymns in general are not your thing. Maybe you get nervous that the new pastor chose this morning to wear a robe, and you'd much prefer to have only guitar, drums, and keyboard, maybe a suit and a tie. Maybe you'd be more comfortable in worship if we did more of those old Bach-style chorale hymns and skipped these modern rock-pop worship songs. And I will say personally, I appreciate variety in worship. And so sometimes maybe there is a song or something else that we do in worship. I think I moved the creed earlier in the service, and maybe we've ever done it before. I'm not sure. I've never been here before. But maybe there's something in worship that doesn't connect with you, or it's not done the way that you think it should be or the way that I think it should be. I think the message of today's gospel reading, part of what Jesus is praying for, is that as long as we're focused on worshiping God and being the body of Christ, all of those are personal issues and not the central thing. Going back to Lutheran tradition again, maybe know the Lutheran word for it, the word called adiaphora. And adiaphora means the things that are less important. As Lutherans, we believe we can be unified, we can work together, and not just as Lutherans, certainly, but we can pray and worship and recognize each other as sisters and brothers in Christ while still disagreeing on the less important things. And so we can worship differently, we can dress differently, we can be in different buildings or from different congregations, we can serve different foods at potlucks, and yet still be unified as the body of Christ. We can even faithfully disagree about the correct response to tragedies, and as long as the focus is on loving God and loving our neighbors, we can still be united. Our Lutheran Augsburg Confession puts it like this: it is enough for the true unity of the church to agree concerning the teachings of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. It is not necessary that human tradition, rites, or ceremonies instituted by human beings be alike everywhere. As Paul says, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. I think it can be difficult to accept that we are stronger when we're together, that we're a better witness when we're together, rather than when we choose sides. Choosing sides and dividing ourselves can make us sharper at pointing out our differences. Sometimes it can clarify some things, but joining together makes us stronger. And so Jesus' call to us in this reading is to work for unity, to be the ones to reach across the table, to make the effort to both welcome others into our worship and to stretch out beyond where we're comfortable. And that applies to us as two ELCA congregations, as well as to how we work with all the other churches around, even other non-church groups. And did you catch in that reading, I know it's kind of a tongue twister, I kind of get lost as I'm reading it out loud, but did you catch in that reading why it is that Jesus prays for the church to be unified? Because he gives a reason. He says that so our witness may point to God. He says, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The central thing is God's love revealed in Jesus Christ. The central thing is our mission to share the good news of God's love with the world. One more thing, one final thing to notice in this reading. Unity is not up to us alone. It's not about how hard we try or the efforts we make. Jesus does more than just give instructions in that reading. Notice what he's doing. He prays for his disciples. And even more than that, he prays for us. Isn't that powerful? Jesus prays for the people not in that room, the people who will come to believe because of the testimony of those who are in that room. Siblings in Christ, that's us. That's you and me. We believe today because of the testimony of those disciples who were in that room hearing Jesus pray that prayer almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus was thinking of us and of those who will come after us. This week, we've seen yet again how broken our world is, how desperately needed is the message of peace and hope trusted to us. We've seen tragedy and violence make even more clear our national divisions. May God use us to bear witness to the good news of grace, forgiveness, and hope in this hurting world, the good news found in Christ alone. And may the world know Jesus through our testimony as Christians and as church together. Amen.